This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. For much of your life, when it came to anything paranormal, you were an ardent skeptic. Although polite to those who believe, privately you long thought this is just so much worthless hoo-ha. That, in fact, pretty much summed up your attitude when you were asked to write an article about a man known for running a kind of school for psi phenomena. You interview him, politely, but don't hear anything that changes your mind. Then it occurs to you, if you really want to be fair, you probably ought to subject yourself to one of his introductory training sessions. That's chapter one in the story of how today's guest comes to be with us. 2 decades after attending that school for the first time, this prolific author has finally published a book acknowledging that the paranormal has become very believable and, well, normal to her. Katie Letcher-Lyle is our guest. Her new book, Friends in High Places, is our focus right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. You're sitting in your living room, thinking about a friend you have not seen in years. Suddenly the phone rings, and it is her on the line telling you she had just found herself thinking about you. There's a problem at work you've been struggling with for days, maybe weeks. You wake up in the middle of the night realizing you just had a dream in which someone was giving you advice, and you see that it was just the solution you've been looking for. You're a writer. You take an assignment to research a story that you just wish you could pass off to someone else because this topic doesn't hold any interest for you at all. 2 months later, you discover the research you had to do has prepared you to handle a family crisis that you never could have imagined would come your way. No matter where you fall on the skeptic to believer continuum, you probably agree that all these stories are plausible, may have even happened to someone you know. But what I have no way to predict is whether you are the type of person to immediately attribute such things to random coincidence, or if you are the sort who is much more likely to see something paranormal, something spiritual, or even some kind of divine intervention at work. So tell us, won't you? Our call-in number is 888-WMRA-TALK. If you believe any kind of psi or psychic phenomena claim is just so much bunk, how'd you arrive at that conclusion? If you believe life is full of paranormal activity, what's your rationale? Fall somewhere in between ardent skeptic and wholehearted believer? We'd like to hear your thinking, too. By phone, 888-967-2825. Online, you can post to us at the Virginia Insight Facebook page. Friends in High Places is her 22nd book, but it is the first where she admits that 20 years ago, she herself transformed from skeptic to believer. Katie Letcher-Lyle, great to see you back in the Insight studio.
Thank you. This place is beginning to feel like home. I've been here so much.
So how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Anything in particular you think it might be nice to talk about?
Well, I thought I was here to talk about my new book, Friends in High Places.
Okay. Well, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to try to be nice. Because the last time that you were here was almost 2.5 years ago.
I've forgotten.
You had written, well, that's good. So I'm just about to remind you and anybody who remembers that you had just written a very personal memoir about your daughter.
Yes.
Who's now in her mid-30s, early
30s? Yes, she just turned 34 the other day, Jenny.
And Jenny was born with some severe handicaps.
Yes.
And there was some quite personal stuff, quite revealing stuff in that book. And I thought I was just sort of, you know, doing friendly joshing, pushing you to talk about some of the stuff in the book. And apparently, to you and to some of the people listening, it came across that I was being sort of mean and harsh towards you when you weren't answering the questions that I thought you wanted me to ask.
Well, I'm back, so I've forgiven you. It's all right.
Well, and there is some deep personal revelation in a couple of spheres in this new book, Friends in High Places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you about some of it.
Okay.
And some of it I know, because you've warned me, are things that, although it is public knowledge because it's in the book, you just as soon, it's so personal, it's just as soon not talk about it on the radio. So if people want to know that scuttlebutt, they'll just have to see the book.
They'll have to read the book.
Yeah. So tell me about this skepticism to believer thing. I mean, although you say in the book, and you've told me personally any number of times, Katie, that for the first 50-plus years of your life, you were a skeptic about so-called paranormal phenomenon.
Totally.
You've also said that you loved ghost stories since you were a little kid.
Oh, yeah, right. But I didn't believe them at all. I mean, I just put them in the same category as any other fictions.
So what changed?
Well, I don't know. I went to the Monroe Institute, and I discovered that I can access other states of mind and
so let's
come
back
with information.
Because there is a story about how you ended up going to the Monroe Institute.
That's right, yeah.
You were writing a freelance article.
That's right.
For a magazine in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And were asked to do a profile of Robert Monroe.
No, I pitched that to the magazine because I had read his first book and learned that he lived just an hour and a half from me. And so I pitched the idea to a magazine.
So you're doing this interview with the guy who is the founder of the Monroe Institute.
Correct.
And tell us what you knew about Bob Monroe.
Only
before you went to do the interview.
Only what he had written in his first book, which was called Journeys Out of the Body. And I thought that was crazy, you know, but he sounded like an interesting kind of crackpot over there on the other side of the mountain. And so I went and interviewed him in what I thought was a very fair and objective way. He found it yellow dog journalism. And
yeah, you say
it
in this latest
very
book, Friends in High Places, that you kind of came to the conclusion that maybe you ought to go and take one of these training sessions at the Monroe Institute before you dismissed it completely.
Exactly.
And you found in filling out the form to sign up for one of these week-long classes that you had to promise not to write about it.
Correct.
And so you decided what? That you were going to persuade them that if they saw your article,
yes,
you'd see what a fair writer you
absolutely
were, and they would let you write about your experience.
Right, and they said no, to my surprise. And I thought they were needing people to come there more than they were, and they didn't care if I came or not. And so
what you did was you sent them a copy of what you thought was this very fair article about your interview with Bob Monroe. As proof that they ought to consider you a fair journalist and not be afraid of anything that you would write once you took the course. And Bob Monroe took a look at your article and said what?
Oh, he was just angry about it. And there was some criticism of every single sentence in the entire article, including my use of the word souls for people who had passed on. He didn't like anything about it. And said, certainly it would be a waste of my time to come to the Monroe Institute.
So
that
looking back
really
now, this
intrigued
is
me.
20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Before you had any further experience with the Monroe Institute or what they do
correct
there. Can you see that from Bob Monroe's point of view, this really was a skeptic writing about him?
Yes, of
and
course.
And that sort of permeated your article?
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't make any pretenses about that. I just was interviewing him in what I thought was a very fair way. And
okay, so then you decide, even though they're not going to let you write about it, at least back then.
That's right.
You're going to go and take one of these Monroe Institute training sessions anyway.
That's right.
One of the things that I'm intrigued with, Katie Letcher Lyle, is as much as you talk about how things changed for you after you went to one of those training sessions at the Monroe Institute for the very first time, and I think you say in the book that you have since been back some 20 additional times?
Oh, no, 36 times.
So obviously you
in
were getting something
years
there that you thought was of value.
Absolutely.
And it changed your whole attitude towards whether or not there's anything legitimate to paranormal phenomena.
Right.
You don't say much about what went on in that first week that you spent at the Monroe Institute.
There's a whole chapter on it.
Yeah, but one of the things that you say, I'm sorry, I don't have that chapter in front of me, is I'm not going to tell you much about my specific experience because everybody's experience is different.
Right. On the other hand, there is in the appendix a description of a lot of those experiences and the way I perceive the different focus levels that
I didn't get is the mechanics, is what went on that made you do a 180-degree shift in your beliefs after more than 50 years on the planet. In 1991, you go and take this first week-long training session that's called
Gateway.
It's the introductory session.
That's right.
To a whole host of different types of trainings available at the Institute. You take this first one, and all of a sudden, your beliefs about paranormal phenomenon flip on their head.
Yes, over and over again.
And I don't understand how that happened. I mean, did it happen in the first hour, the first day, the first 3 days?
About the first 3 days. Or
why?
About the third day.
What was going on?
Well, there's no vocabulary for what happens. Except
again,
you listen. There you go, pushing me again. But you put on headphones that feed two different signals into your two different ears, and the brain perceives the gap between those two signals. And they send you immediately into yogic trance states or dream states or states of altered consciousness. And Bob had names for all the levels and numbers for all the levels. But
this is the patented technology that Monroe,
who was
a radio engineer originally.
He was, exactly. And that's one of the reasons I doubted him, because a lot of his recordings and things
people,
were like.
But he called it hemisync.
That's right.
And his claim was by playing different signals through each ear into different hemispheres of the brain.
That's right.
That you could easily get people into things like beta states.
Exactly.
Or, as you say, different yogi meditative states.
Mm-hmm. Or a healing mode or
so
something
like that. So you put the headphones on?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
I was shifted into those states, and interesting things began to happen. And I would hear biblical phrases come back to me from my childhood attendance at church and all that. But suddenly they had new meaning. You are sent in one tape, and I don't remember whether this is in the first program or not, but you are sent to a place where the after death dwell and asked to imagine yourself a dwelling there. And I did that. And then I would suddenly think, oh my goodness, the Bible says in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm fairly proficient in the Bible because I'm interested in literature. And I went to church for the first 22 years of my life every Sunday. And I taught Sunday school. So I was fairly proficient with that. But then it would suddenly have a totally new meaning, but there's no way I can exactly put into words why I suddenly believed something that was in the Bible that had just been words before.
Did you? This is what, a 5 or 6 day series?
It's 6 days. Yeah.
You, in essence, live at the Monroe Institute
you do.
For 6 days,
mm-hmm.
And repeatedly, you're going into
5 or 6 times a day.
These meditative states.
These meditative states, yeah.
And
then you come
by the end of the sixth day, you come out of this experience
with my hair standing on end, literally.
Believing that paranormal phenomena are real, or at least can be real, and that there's all sorts of things that human beings can access besides what we access with our five senses.
Exactly.
Can you look back on those, on what you were thinking after 6 days that changed your mind?
Not exactly. I mean,
okay,
I have all kinds of things that happen.
Well,
sure,
and we'll talk
but
about
they
some
sound
of those.
Crazy. You
well,
know, they sound
but
just
some
crazy.
Of them are in your book, and
oh,
you
yeah,
didn't
right.
tell me ahead of time that we couldn't talk about
no.
those. So I'm going to ask you about that. I'm going to ask you to read some from your book, and we're going to ask our audience to participate if they have any beliefs, questions,
please
or skepticisms about paranormal phenomena. The phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK. The guest is Katie Letcher Lyle. Her newest book is titled One Woman's Spiritual Adventures, Friends in High Places. We'll be back in 1 minute. Lexington, Virginia-based writer Katie Letcher Lyle is our guest. If you were a teenager in the 1970s or 80s, you may recognize Miss Lyle's name for the series of young adult novels she used to write. If you're a fan of wild foods, Ms. Lyle could be on your favorite author's list because of her late 1990s volume, The Foraging Gourmet. Her most recently published book chronicles adventures of a completely different type, titled Friends in High Places. It describes how, when it comes to the subject of the paranormal, she went from ardent skeptic to wholehearted believer. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. You have had some interesting reaction to this book.
Oh, yeah. Not all positive either.
Yeah, well, that was what I was thinking, is that there are some people that have sort of surprised you with the degree to which they have been critical of you and critical of you writing about this stuff. So tell me about that.
Well, there are a lot of people who simply cannot believe this. And I think that reality is not scientific truths. Neither is it psychic truths. Both are true, and both are matters of faith. You know, if you have the scientific paradigm in your mind that believes that you can only see, you can only believe what you see, then all of this stuff is going to look like coincidence or lies or deception of some sort or a mistake on the part of the observer. You know, there are people who just don't believe in ghosts, period. Yet there are hundreds and thousands of ghost stories that exist in the world and that people have reported forever.
So if I press you for specifics, I'm going to get in trouble again, aren't I?
Probably.
Because it's my understanding that there was an incident not all that long ago of running into a neighbor in a store who was mad at you about this book.
Yeah, a couple of people have indicated that they are mad, and a couple of other people have said, oh, you've created a lot of disturbance with your book. And most people, of course, have told me they love it.
Is a member of your family who's not happy with you?
Possibly.
Phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK, 1-888-967-2825. So you're willing to tell me things off air, and you're willing to write things in your book that are pretty specific about names and places and dates, but there's something about getting you in front of a microphone, Katie, that you don't want to name those people.
I don't want to name anybody specifically.
You might be willing to do this much. One, the person that you told me about in the grocery store was someone that you felt, at least one of these people, was upset with you because they, I'm not even going to say he or she, okay? I'm going to respect the anonymity that much.
Okay.
They felt what you were writing about violated their Christian beliefs.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, just exactly that. I mean, how can you write about things like this? Don't you know it's a sin to be messing around with spirits and so forth? And one man apparently dropped out of a church where I spoke, where I had great success with the audience. There were 200 members of the church. 66 of them showed up on the Sunday that I was speaking. We did a little exercise in which I asked them to consider the possibility of speaking to either a famous person they wish they had known who was dead or a family member. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, people were weeping and people couldn't wait to come up and tell me that they'd had a message from their sister. She said she was fine now and no longer in pain. And I mean, just on and on and on like that. So now I've forgotten what you asked me.
Well,
as
you
usual.
Were saying that there was one person at this church who dropped out of the church.
Absolutely.
Because they were so offended.
I learned
that you would
afterwards,
talk about this.
Yeah, at a dinner party that this and everybody was being unkind about this man, but they said, well, he just said he wasn't going to go in any church that talked about spirits and things like that, and so he dropped out of the church. So, you know, it's too bad because I don't think that I'm not trying to persuade anybody of anything. I'm just telling about the experiences that I've had. And you could say that I was mistaken in all of them, or that I'm lying about them, or whatever. But I believe that when experience changes you, it must somehow be acknowledged. And I think that's what this book is about.
Well, to you on the other side of your radio, I'm curious if you ever had an experience that absolutely convinced you that psychic abilities are real. Have you ever heard of someone else claiming a psychic experience that convinced you that that particular person was absolutely fooling themselves? 888-WMRA-TALK is the easy way to remember our phone number. In all numbers, that translates to 888-967-2825. In Charlottesville, Dave, thanks for using that number and calling in. Your question or comment for the author of the new book, Friends in High Places, Katie Letcher-Lyle, please.
Well, I had a couple of questions. One is that I've done yoga for many, many years and lived in the ashram in my youth and had some mystic experience, but I wouldn't consider them paranoia normal. Well, what would be the difference between what you call paranormal and what's traditionally thought of as mystic?
Thank you, Dave. I don't think there's any difference. I think that psychic phenomena are all within the range of perfectly normal abilities. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what I believe, is that we all have, from time to time, amazing coincidences or, you know, have a dream about a dead relative that could have been a visit from the relative. So I would just say mystic experiences are part of that whole realm of paranormal experiences.
Dave, I'm wondering if you can tell us briefly about one of the experiences that you consider mystic. As an example,
I've had what they're called astral projections. I've had
so an out of body experience.
Out of body experiences,
and you don't consider that paranormal?
No, I've had lucid dreaming since I was a teenager, and it's kind of somewhat similar.
Yeah, I'm very envious. I've tried to learn to lucid dream for many years, and I've never. Only once did I ever have a lucid dream.
Katie, have you done out-of-body stuff?
I've never been able to get out of my body. Although, of course, we're out of our bodies when we're dreaming.
Well, anyway, do you know if they have a one-day or a two-day session? Because there's no way I could ever go there for 6 days in a row.
Yes, they do. You should contact them.
Okay.
And it's just the Monroe Institute, Faber, Virginia.
Yeah, I've read about them for many years.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, listen, Dave, keep having those experiences. I'm very envious.
Dave, thanks so much for calling in. Phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. If you prefer to type instead of talk and you have a Facebook account, then go to your Facebook page, type in WMRA's Virginia Insight to the top. That'll take you to our Facebook page, and you can post your question or comment there. For Katie Letcher-Lyle, Rebecca in Afton, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, my comment is sharing of an experience I've had. I used to pick up a child from a daycare place in San Francisco, and I picked up the child every day, school days. Had a dream one evening that said, tell Linda, the person who ran the daycare, to take Uncle Albert off the shelf. So I laughed and I said, yeah, whatever. Went to the place the next day, picked up the child, and said, Linda, I had a dream. So, okay, what's the dream? I said, well, the dream was to take Uncle Albert off the shelf. And she turned completely white, and grabbed my arm, and dragged me over to a mantel place where there was an urn sitting. And she said, that's Uncle Albert.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had promised to spread his ashes, and I hadn't done it yet.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was very great.
Oh, again, I'm so envious of your having that kind of experience.
And I had no knowledge of Uncle Albert. I barely knew this woman. You know, I got the kid as quickly as I could and got out of the place. So,
Rebecca, I'm just curious, did that make you a believer in psychic phenomenon? Were you
I had already had dreams and things like that before. That was probably the most dramatic one that was actually proven to me that it wasn't.
So how do you deal with people who are skeptics?
Oh, experience. The only way you have in my opinion, you have no basis of saying something unless you try to experience or you've experienced. It's like saying, prove to me that there's death. You know, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody dies. You know, I can't prove that one, but, you know, it's true.
Well, if
these... Does that make any sense?
Well,
it,
yeah,
it
but there,
to me.
I can see that there certainly are going to be people who will say, including previous guests on this show, that somewhere deep in your consciousness there was an awareness of this man, an awareness that some sort of promise had been made to take care of his ashes, and in your dream state, your consciousness just brought that up to where you could see it.
Oh, I think there's nothing psychic about that. I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, it's just fear and lack of curiosity and wanting to experience things yourself that brings up that.
Rebecca, thanks so much for taking the time.
I mean, you look at the Bible, and how many people believe in Lazarus?
Yes. And how, you know, 75% of Americans admit that they believe in ghosts or have seen ghosts. And over 50% of widows in both a British and an American study claim to have had contact with their dead husbands in the first year after the dead husband had died. So I don't see how you can discount it. But, again, I'm not trying to persuade anybody.
No, I persuade, go to the Monroe Institute if you want a really systematic way of leading you into it.
Absolutely.
And have the courage to challenge yourself.
Yes.
And you are another Monroe graduate, Rebecca?
I used to teach yoga there, yeah, and I was offered a free session. Is, you know, a nice thing to do for me. Yep.
Thank you for taking the time to call.
You're most welcome.
Next call is coming in from Harrisonburg. Emily, thank you for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for Katie Letcher-Lyle, author of the new book, Friends in High Places.
Hi. I first actually have a clarification question that I'd like to ask you. Is this the same institute you interviewed a father whose son had died very young, had predicted his own,
yes,
his own death? Okay. Well, I wanted to ask the guest, how are you led into the meditative state? Is it, do they use music or maybe things like aromatherapy and then kind of guide you in verbally?
Yes, they guide you in verbally, but they use a patented technique called hemisync, in which you don't have to do any drugs, you don't have to be sleep deprived or anything. You put headphones on. And they feed two different sounds into your left and right ear, and the brain perceives the gap between them. So they lead you down through theta state and delta state, sometimes to gamma state, and sometimes to a combination of these states that I don't understand very well. But they take you into altered states of consciousness, and there you just experience things that at least I had never experienced before.
I think the claim of the Monroe Institute is that these difference in audio signals,
yes,
slows the frequency of waveform action in your brain to where you're in a deep meditative state. You're nodding
That's
your head.
Right.
So okay,
and they don't have to teach you how to do it over 40 years of you know, being intense like a yoga. They're there to help you. And if you don't like what's happening, you just take the earphones off. So it's not scary. It isn't dangerous to your health.
Emily, was that your question? Or did you have another one?
That pretty much answers my question.
Emily, let me tell you who that guy was, if you want to look up his book again. His name was Greg Corbon, and I've been at several programs with him.
Greg was a guest. I don't know if he talked about the Monroe Institute, but Greg was a guest talking about his recent book.
That's right.
About his son who died in that
Brian.
Amazing
oh, okay.
situation
Brian.
Of psychic experiences yeah. before he died many years ago. The, right. And yeah. in fact, there's a baseball field in Charlottesville named
it's
Corbin
neat.
Field.
That's right.
The field where the boy died after playing a very successful game of baseball that he had predicted he would play. The interview with Mr. Corbin is on our Virginia Insight archive page. So if you Google WMRA, Virginia Insight, and Corbin, you will be able to find it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling
us, Emily.
Emily. So, to you who are listening, if you were sitting alone in a room and you found yourself hearing voices giving you advice, would your first thought be, wow, I have tapped into the other side? Or, wow, I really need some better medication? We're looking at attitudes from ardent skeptic to wholehearted believer on the subject of paranormal activity. By phone, you can reach us at 888-WMRA-TALK. That's 888-967-2825. On Facebook, you can find us listed as Virginia Insight. Our guest from Lexington, Virginia, Katie Letcher Lyle. Her 22nd book is just out. The first one where she admits her own fascination with the paranormal and many of her own paranormal experiences. And it is titled Friends in High Places. Next is somewhere in central VA. Patricia's calling us. Patricia, thanks for calling in. Your question, your comment, please. Patricia, if you have your radio turned up, we need you to turn it down because we're getting some delayed feedback off it. And we're going to turn Patricia's call down, and maybe one of our producers can reconnect with her and see if we can get that corrected. There is a fairly famous elected official who is an ancestor of yours. And yes. If we turn in your book to, I have it marked here, I think it's page 90. You want to read those first few paragraphs from Friends in High Places for us?
Well, I'll be happy to do it, but I don't like to trade on my name. But my great-grandfather was indeed governor of Virginia from 1860 to 1864. His name was John Letcher, and he led the Virginia during the first 4 years of the war between the states. Once at the Monroe Institute, I decided to try to contact him. I'd so love to have known him. I asked at the Monroe during a tape for a meeting with my great-grandfather. There he stood in a clearing in the woods, just as if we'd met on a walk in the forest. I told him I was his great-granddaughter and introduced myself. I added that I feared that he'd think me frivolous, but hoped he'd like me anyway. "Why is that?" he asked. "Well, I'm modern and I'm liberal and I love silliness," I explained. "And a drink or two?" he asked slyly. The perfect question to put me at ease. "Yes," I admitted. "Me too," he said. I said, thinking of his 13 children, 9 grown to adulthood, "I'm Greenlee's granddaughter." "He was my favorite," he said. I had to leave him too soon. I quickly did the math. 1872 was Greenlee's birth, and his father died in 1884, so my grandfather was 12. But he was the sweetest child I had. I followed his career on this side. "Then you know he was called Gov," I said, "after you." "Yes, I know." I asked, "Was there a lot of laughter in your life?" "Oh, yes, as much as I imagine there is in yours." "Did you and Sue, my great-grandmother, love each other?" He nodded solemnly. "We had a special love for each other." "Did Sue like sex?" I asked. "I believe so," he said solemnly. "Tell me about your other children." "Lizzie was the most responsible, the oldest. Jenny, Virginia Lee Letcher Stevens, Robert E. Lee's only goddaughter, was a great deal like you, now that I see you. Lizzie was more serious."
And you go on to describe what he said
about
some
of his
other children. So the obvious question is going to be, to what degree do you believe you are actually talking to your deceased great-grandfather? And we have to pause for the break, so we'll get your answer in just a bit more than 1 minute. Katie Letcher Lyle says for the first 5 decades or so of her life, she was absolutely convinced that talk of the paranormal was just so much, her word, hoo-ha. Can you identify? Well, then something happened and Ms. Lyle's beliefs changed by just about 180 degrees. Anything like that ever happened to you? 888-WMRA-TALK is our phone number, 888-967-2825. Or you can reach us on Facebook, where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. So you just before the break read that passage in your new book, Friends in High Places, where you say in a Monroe Institute experience where you go into this deep meditative state. You ask to talk to your great-grandfather, the former governor of Virginia during Civil War years. To what degree do you believe that you were actually talking to your deceased great-grandfather?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but totally. I do believe it. And I didn't learn anything unusual that I was able to prove later from that particular conversation, but I have many times.
Give me an example.
Come up. All right. An example was a friend of mine who was feeling bad about the death of her mother because she had wished her mother dead before her mother died. So she asked me to go and contact her mother and ask for her forgiveness. So I had a very bad experience with the mother the first time, and so I didn't want to tell her about that. But the second time I talked to her, she was in the company of this young, really cute-looking male who was about 16 or 17, and she let me know his name was Chris and that she was doing fine then, that she was not in the terrible black place where I'd found her 2 weeks before. And so I was able joyfully to go to my friend and say, you know, I saw her, and she loved young people and children. And I said, I saw your mother, and she had this young guy with her that was just so cute, and I feel like she's found herself a much younger boyfriend. And she said his name was Chris. And my friend went pale and said, after my third child was born, we were still in graduate school. I did not think we could afford any more children. And when I got pregnant a fourth time, I had an abortion. But she said, if it had been a male, his name would have been Chris, which was the first name of, you know, somebody's father. And she said, I totally believe that that child has grown up in spirit, and now he's taken care of his grandmother. And this was something I didn't know anything about. I mean, I didn't know about an abortion she'd had 16 years before.
And you completely dismiss the possibility of coincidence. You think that that is proof that something valid and real was going on.
Well, that and many other experiences like that have happened. So, yeah, I think they're true.
Next to Stuart's draft, Gail, thank you for joining us.
Yes, hi.
Your question or comment, please.
Mostly mine is just a comment and possibly maybe an answer. I know my grandmother has had situations in her life where she would see flashes of things to come. Wouldn't be anything of detail. She would get this flash, a picture of something, and then it may not happen within a week, but it might happen in the next coming year. Say, for example, my grandmother saw my brother coming to visit her wearing specific clothes. And then we would show up in the summertime, and he would have on those exact clothes that she would envision.
Interesting.
And then I have kind of similar experiences where I had worked at a place where we had a receiving area in the back, and I walked in one day and got this huge flash of, it happened so quickly that you don't know if it happens, you know, how long it takes. But it was a vision of this, of something just all over the floor and the place a mess back there. Came in the next day, and sure enough, there was a forklift that had lost all of its oil all over the floor, and they had to shut down all of receiving. To clear this up. And so she and I both have similar experiences. And those are usually the only experiences that I have, or just flashes of something. And then later on, it kind of shows itself.
That's interesting, and proves that psychic phenomena are not either determined in our version of time or our version of space. You know, because you're seeing something before it happens, and think of the real implications of that.
And that is kind of a scary circumstance for me. I don't, you know, I have talked to friends about this and have said, you know, and I have a friend that says, you know, oh my gosh, this is, that's a real wonderful gift. You should cultivate that. I'm like, oh no, I don't want, you know, I don't want to cultivate that at all because it's kind of a scary, sick circumstance. But then this is about 3 to 4 years ago, I was driving down the road. And usually I have a tendency when I see and you know, like an animal that lies on the that's lying on the side of the road, you know, I usually have a tendency to say something like, you know, dear lady, please bless that child, because I just feel so bad that it's on the side of the road. And as I was driving down the road one day and I happened to do that, all of a sudden I heard this big huge sigh and somebody telling me, you know, you can do this yourself.
Oh, interesting. Well, now, I do believe everybody can do it.
I don't know, and that's still another, you know, I don't want to, and of course I'm saying this on TV, on radio now, that's, which is unfortunate, but I, you know, what does that, you know, I don't know what that is, what that means, where it come from. Can your subconscious,
I hear what you're asking, and I have to say that my study of this through particularly the last 20 years, but really all my life, is that I meet people who claim these experiences. I meet other people who say it's a lot of hoo-ha.
Right.
And maybe there's a huge range of psychic experiences in human experience that, you know, not everybody's an artist, although everybody can draw a little bit. Not everybody's a writer, but everybody can probably, pretty many people can write letters. We all have talents ranging, say, from 0 to 100 on a scale, and some people seem more psychic than others to me.
Gail, if I could ask, the last story that you just told us mm-hmm. about seeing something on the side of the road, mm-hmm. and you have this automatic phrase that comes to you of please bless that child, is that what you said?
It's the same thing. I say the same thing every time. Dear lady, please bless this child.
And when you heard this voice that said, you know, you can do that yourself, what did that mean to you? That you can bless the dead animal yourself?
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can actually get at. I mean, I have thought this. I have just worried this to death, you know, just what does this mean? And the only thing I can think of is that, you know, I myself can bless this child.
Yes.
I don't need to ask somebody to bless this child. It's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I believe part of God.
Oh, well.
I do. That we are all part of
that
God.
That we're all part of, right,
yeah,
right.
I do.
But I would have never presumed. I mean, to me, that would be kind of like presuming to, you know, do this.
I think that we all have to decide for ourselves what these things are. But we know, for example, that idiosavants, you know who they are, you know, these children who maybe are severely retarded yet can play the piano beautifully. We know that those things exist. We know some that people have different areas of talent, but we don't know why. We don't know how, and I'm not sure we're supposed to.
It's something I'm all over all the time and wonder about. But
Gail, I can hear that this is of significant concern to you, and that there's even some fear as well as mystery involved.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
I will tell you that there is an organization at the University of Virginia, a research group called the Division for Perceptual Studies. And they investigate all kinds of different psi phenomena, and they invite people to contact them. I think the researcher there, Ed Kelly, who recently signed on with them and has been doing psi research for decades now, is looking for some new subjects. I can also tell you that Dr. Kelly was a guest on this program early this year talking about his new book, Irreducible Mind. And if you care to listen to what he has to say, that is available online on our Virginia Insight
archives page. You can find that just by Googling WMRA Insight and Ed Kelly.
Well,
and
thank you.
I hope you get some help with either of those locales.
That, well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you having this conversation. This is great.
Oh, well, thank you, Gail, for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Gail.
Bye-bye.
We're going to run out of time pretty soon. If somebody was to call us right now, we might be able to get the call processed and on the air before we run out of time. So let me mention one more time that our phone number is 888-WMRA-TALK, which translates into all numbers as 888-967-2825. We are talking with the author of the new book, Friends in High Places, Katie Letcher Lyle. And I'm a little surprised, Katie, anytime we do a program where someone with your perspective about paranormal phenomenon is on, I get feedback afterward.
I know.
Usually in the form of email, yeah. of people saying, why do you have those crazies on?
That's right.
Interestingly, when we do programs, as we did a few months ago, with somebody who's written a book that he believes proves why people who believe in paranormal phenomenon are fooling themselves,
mm-hmm.
we get people from the other side saying, how dare you dismiss our beliefs? But we're not today getting the skeptics by phone. I'm sure I'll hear from them after the show is over. I'd like you to address those skeptics now, because there are people listening who are pretty well convinced that you're fooling yourself.
Well, eventually history will sort it out. We will discover whether this is true or not. Right now, I think there's so much evidence of paranormal experiences that the only thing that distresses me is to hear people like the fellow, was his name Ed Kelly?
Is the researcher who says that there are hundreds of scientific studies that show paranormal phenomenon is real.
Right.
And his new book is called Irreducible Mind.
Right.
The person that you're thinking about a couple of months ago here on Virginia Insight is Dr. Andy Thompson.
Andy
a world-renowned, I should say, psychiatrist, highly regarded for some of his recent studies, new findings on depression. He's written or co-authored a new book that I'm not remembering the title of off the top of my head, but in essence what he is saying is that people's belief in the paranormal can be explained by evolutionary psychology.
And I do not buy that at all. I read his book, but he apparently would not, I mean, I assume he's not read mine, because you asked him a question on that program about, well, what do you make of all these near-death experiences when people visit heaven and come back and all that? And he said, I don't read that sort of stuff. And see, I think that is a sort of arrogant position, and I don't disbelieve anything in his book. He's just going at it from another direction. I mean, he's using the body as the only thing we have, and I believe that our minds can be non-local. And I have done a lot of remote viewing in recent years, which for me is the proof. You can send me somewhere, and I can come back with information, and all I'm sending is my mind.
You ask me not to ask you about remote viewing on this
show.
No,
I said don't ask me to describe it because it's too complicated and it's pretty boring to just a listener. No, I didn't ask you not to.
Well, as I understand it, remote viewing, which I don't think is a term that necessarily explains itself, is where you get into a kind of meditative state.
Correct.
And somebody gives you something like latitude and longitude.
That's right.
And then says, describe what you see.
Exactly.
And you describe something that sounds very much like the San Francisco Bay Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, they show you a picture of what's at this location, and it is the San Francisco Bay Bridge.
Correct.
Is that a fair?
That's right.
Okay. Right. I just looked it up. Andy Thompson's book is called
Why We Believe in God.
You just remembered it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Why We Believe in God's A Concise Guide to the Science of Faith.
Right.
And that... Yeah.
But I think if I read his book, maybe he ought to do me the honor of reading mine.
I think we have one more call that we have time for, and
good.
I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce the name correctly. Is it Hananam?
Hanuman, you're right.
Your question or comment, please.
Well, I've had several experiences in which I'm told are not supposed to happen, which I have died in dreams. and had amazingly beautiful feelings around it, and not experienced it as a dream. Experienced it more as reality in my body.
That's interesting. Oh, my. I dreamed once that I had my head cut off, and I got dizzy with it rolling across the floor of a marbled something or other. I mean, you know, it was on marble, and I could feel my head rolling across this.
Hananam, I'm sorry, we've only got about 15 seconds left. Just real quickly, can you tell me what you thought those dreams signified?
That we really don't die, that consciousness goes on, and it's nothing to be afraid of.
I totally agree.
Thank you so much for taking
the
time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry we ran out of time, but our guest has been Katie Letcher-Lyle, author of the new book, Friends in High Places. Katie, thanks so much for your time.
Tom, thanks so much. I enjoyed it. And invite me back again.
Insight's executive producer is Matt Bingay. Our associate producers are Terry Ward and Bob Levicky. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jaspe and Inner Rhythm. You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on Programs, and then clicking on Insight Archives. If you go to that page, you'll find links to more information about the work Ms. Lyle is doing. And if you go to the Virginia Insight Facebook page and click Like, you'll get access to a whole bunch more information about these broadcasts there as well. Did I give you too much of a hard time once again?
Absolutely not. I just love sparring with you.
Thanks for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insights.